realized that they had been with Jesus. I thank God for all the education we can get, and so that's not the point. But oh, to be with Jesus. To be with Jesus. And I would not want to dare limit what I'm about to share to just people that call Heaven View your church home, because I know in a crowd this size, there are some great believers that maybe don't even come to church here. You're just guests, but you have a strong confidence in a great God that promised that the people that know Him, they'll be strong and they'll do great things. And I just believe that God is still drawing near to people. And it's awesome that we can live our lives in such a way that people will know He's been with Jesus. She's been with Jesus. Not that we would wear it as a badge of pride, God forbid, but our world needs to rub shoulders with people that are rubbing shoulders with Jesus. I wonder if you would pray as I just share from the Word of God that you would enjoy, experience, encounter in your connection with the Lord whatever you need to have an explosive influence in our world. Would you pray right now? Lord Jesus, I want to be an influence in the kingdom of God. I want my efforts in life to make an impact, my relationship with you to really be empowered, God, that I might be a witness in a world that needs you in a supernatural way. Those of you that often pray and are easily led by the Spirit, would you literally intercede for just a moment here that the call of God would go out, that the Spirit of God would reach out, and someone would tap into an opportunity. One more time, just thank the Lord for His presence, His word, whatever you want to do to say I love you and I thank you, Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. 2 weeks ago, I preached from Acts 4 and 31, and in the meantime, Sister Wallace spoke. She preached last week in the meantime. But then today, I'm being led back to Acts chapter 4, but now verse 13. But I think these two messages, it was not intended to be this way, but they're linked together in terms of God trying to get our attention. When I preached a couple weeks ago, the message was stir it up and shake it off. And although it may not have been the entire focus of the message, I do want to read the scripture and just alert you to something that God is doing. It says in Acts 4 and 31 now, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So it's obvious in Acts 4 and 31 and Acts 4, 13 that we're going to focus on today. There is a common thread here, and that is that people have been with Jesus. And not only have they been with Jesus, there's been a result that other people around them have been impacted in a positive way. And I'm just wanting each of us to stretch our faith for just a moment to believe, yeah, God has been blessing me, and yeah, Jesus does work in my life, but I believe my life can be a blessing to His work. I believe that my life can be an influence in my world. And so if you remember, and don't feel bad if you don't, not too many people do. I would have forgotten if it wasn't written right here. But during that message, I made the statement that we have young people in this church that are filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. You remember that at least. And just like you're doing now, you were clapping and you recognize and you were thankful. Well, since that happened in just 2 weeks, there are three young people in this church, and I'm not going to have them stand, but you'll know who they are, Rochelle, Melinda, and Ethan. They were up here on Wednesday night, and look at this picture. This is a picture of what they call their P7 club, and in their first Bible study in their high school, they had 12 or 13 people that were seeking the Lord. They even had individuals in that club that claimed to be a part of what's called the occult, but they came into the Bible study and experienced the Word of God. Hey, that was not preachers or other ministers. Well, it was ministers, but it was young people. They didn't have theology degrees, but they were filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. In other words, they have been with Jesus. And they're taking Jesus to their high school. Oh, I think that's awesome. They're making an impact. I just feel like those young people are going to be an explosive influence in that high school. And they're not going to walk around like they're all proud and arrogant about that. God forbid. They're going to walk around like, to God be the glory that my relationship with Jesus is not just shoved in a box Monday through Saturday, and then I take it out on Sunday and act like God's all that. I'm going to live for God in such a way that people will know that I have been with Jesus. Praise God. So recently I heard the story, and some of you probably already know this story, even though it dates back to the 1800s. It's the true story of Alfred Nobel. He's famous for many things, but chiefly he's best known for the Nobel Prizes, like the Nobel Peace Prize. But there is a story about Alfred Nobel, a true story that not everybody recognizes. In fact, he is credited for inventing dynamite. And dynamite has a lot of useful purposes, but along with being the inventor of dynamite, he is famous for being a weapons manufacturer back in the 1800s. So even though there were some useful purposes for dynamite and other things he invented, there was also a lot of destruction that can be traced back to his life, his ingenuity, and his skill. In 1888, this to me is remarkable, Alfred had a brother that died. His name was Ludwig. When Ludwig died, a French newspaper got the story wrong, and they didn't think that it was the brother that had died. They thought it was Alfred that had died. And so they posted an obituary in the story, in the paper, and because he had a little bit of notoriety for being a weapons manufacturer, they really honed in on that part of his legacy, and this is what the obituary said. It condemned him for his inventions, and it called him the merchant of death. And the paper said, the merchant of death is dead. And that's pretty amazing that here you are finding out about a newspaper that writes about you because they think you're dead. And it really grieved Alfred that all he would be remembered for is that he was the one responsible for leading many people to their death. And that's what changed his life. He began to turn a corner and invest his money, his insight, his businesses into finding a way to do things that would help society, that would encourage people. In fact, he had become rich by finding ways to kill more people faster than anybody had ever done before. But when he saw that as his legacy, he went to work and set aside his fortune for what we know now of as the Nobel Prizes. He donated the equivalent of $250 million because he wanted to change the legacy of his life. How phenomenal that he, in one sense, had the opportunity to die so that he could observe how he lived. He had the opportunity to die and then come back and make up for a life that perhaps was not what he thought it could be. Can I say to you today, I hope that doesn't happen to anybody here, but wouldn't it be wonderful if we take Jesus at his word when he said, whoever finds his life is going to lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake is going to find it. What if we took the word of God for what it means when Paul said, I die daily? What if we just made a commitment that I want to be with Jesus on a special level so that my life is not just remembered for something that doesn't bring life, but my life is remembered for something that advances the kingdom of God? I'm talking about a life that makes a difference, not just a preacher behind a pulpit or even others that are on the platform, but anybody that makes up their mind, I'm going to get with Jesus until something impacts my life and influences me. I'm saying anybody that spends any time with Jesus is promised the opportunity to have an explosive influence on those around them. I just believe that everybody here that knows Jesus can have a life that influences others for good. And I gotta tell you, I was inspired by these precious young people that took that bold step to start a club in their school to honor the Lord and preserve and present his word. And not everybody here needs to start a club at school or on your job. That's not the point. I just think everybody here needs to accept the opportunity to say, if I can just be with Jesus, he's going to speak to me about a way that I can be an influence in my community, in my family, in my neighborhood, in my generation. I just feel like God wants to raise up some individuals. Some of them are young, and some of them are older. Some of them have served the Lord for many years. Others are just starting on their journey. But he wants to raise up some people that people will look at you and say, you know what? I don't think he has a theology degree. I don't think she went to seminary. But my goodness, when they talk to me about Jesus, I can feel something I've never felt before. When I came to them with a need and I prayed, they prayed for me, the power of God touched my life. I just feel like ordinary people can have an extraordinary influence if we will be with Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. We need to be with Jesus more than ever before. John chapter 15 and verse 4, we read Jesus speaking about the fact that he is the vine and we are the branches. And he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Skipping down to verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Down to verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples. I just feel like the Lord is throwing out an open invitation today, and he's saying, you know what? All this going to church is not just for your benefit. All this reading your Bible is not just for your well-being. All this serving the Lord, and some that can say, I've been a Christian for many years, it's not just for me, myself, and mine, but as I am abiding in Jesus, as I am abiding in the vine, I'm becoming fruitful. There's something out of my life that's making an impact and being an influence. And I just feel like God is wanting to send a message to our generation that we can have more than just a marginal influence. We can have more than just, oh yeah, I know they're church-going people. They're always nice to me when they see me in town. No, it's bigger than that. We can have an explosive influence. We can literally turn our world upside down for Jesus. Not just the preacher behind the pulpit, but anybody that says, I'm going to get with Jesus until something about Jesus flows out of my life. I don't want to spiritualize this to the degree that some of you might think I'm just a little bit crazy, nor do I want to speak light of something that is so horribly tragic in our generation. But it's been in our generation, it seems like even more than at other times, that young people have been schooled and persuaded to put on suicide vests and have an explosive influence in their world. It seems like it's in our generation. And I know if you read the statistics, there's always been challenges with people just deciding to get up and kill people. But it seems like in the media, it's becoming the front page over and over again, how somebody can just go off and destroy all kinds of people in just a few moments. What an explosive influence. Again, you might think I'm crazy, but I think the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. And I think the devil has a heyday every time there is carnage in the newspapers and carnage in the community and fear that begins to rack society. And I just feel like if the devil can manipulate people to be an explosive influence for evil, why cannot God take a little Bible believer that finds a place to kneel by her bed and pray, oh God, use me to be a vessel? Why can't God take some good church-going folk and all of a sudden there becomes something that happens in our lives that says, I've been with Jesus. I'm not the way I used to be. Oh, as you clap your hands, would you let something in your spirit say, let it be me. Let me make an impact. Let me be an influence. Let me be someone that's been with Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to make this so practical, so simple, that some of us that have lived for God long enough to relate to what I'm about to say, you'll say, you know what, God, I think you're talking to me, because I know he's talking to me. I don't want to just pray so I can say I've prayed, because I know that's what good Christians do. I want to pray until I know I've been with Jesus. I don't want to just fast because I know I'm supposed to fast And people might say, man, you're losing weight. It kind of feels good. You know, that's kind of sad when fasting becomes something that glorifies the flesh instead of glorifying God. I don't want to be just fasting so I can go on a fast. I want to be fasting so I can say something is different. God is working in my life. It's like the leader that stood up here today and said in his devotion, God was dealing with me. I hope that prayer and fasting does more than just give us some little spiritual notch on our belt so we can act like we're a little bit more godly than everybody else. But let's pray until we've been with Jesus. Let's fast until we've been with Jesus. Let's meditate on the Word of God, not just because we know we're supposed to read our Bible, but really let's do it because we got to hear from God. We got to know His voice. We got to see what He's doing in our lives. It's got to be obvious that we've been with Jesus. You say amen. And so I want to say it this way. We want there to be fruit from our prayers. We want there to be fruit from our fasting. We want there to be fruit from our reading the Bible. We want there to be fruit from us living for God. We want there to be fruit from us calling ourselves Christians. I'm saying everybody, He's the vine, we're the branches. Not just the preachers are the branches. Not just the platform people are the branches. He's the vine and every Christian is one of the branches. And so there's gotta be fruit. Your praying's gotta make a difference. Your fasting's gotta make a difference. Your time in the Word has gotta make a difference. You logging in, I've been a Christian since X amount of years, it's got to make a difference. Come on, I beg you from the front row to the back row that you would just hear a call from God today. I don't know if your call is going to sound like my call. I have a feeling that God can speak to each and every one of us in our own way. He can lead us by His voice. But what I want us to believe is that I may be on the back row and this may be my first time here, but I know I love Jesus. I know He saved me and I'm going to be an explosive influence. I don't even know that preacher, but while he was preaching, I started thinking, wow, there must be a reason why I came to church today. There must be a purpose why God has given me access to salvation. It must be in a world that's falling apart, in a world that's going crazy. God wants to raise up a church that's on fire, a church that's full of power, a church that's been with Jesus. Oh, could you clap your hands and shout unto God and say, I want to be with Jesus. Praise God. So this past Wednesday, just random, it wasn't planned. It was just totally spontaneous. At the end of the service, Sister Rachel, we enjoyed your presentation on New Zealand, but something about her testimony, and I don't want to put her on the spot, but she's just a young person in a church. She don't have a minister's license. She's never been to a seminary. She's got a good job, pays her bills. She's not somebody that you'd ever notice per se, but God speaks to her. She goes to New Zealand. She's scared to death, but God said it, I'm going to go. What's going on there? Her prayer. Her time in the Word, her fasting. I'm not trying to prop her up like she's some super spiritual icon. We're going to name her, you know, Saint Rachel. That's not the point. I'm saying she's an ordinary believer that can have an extraordinary influence. Why? Because when she heard from God, she obeyed God. When God spoke to her, she took the next step. And so here she is telling her story. And so just towards the end of the service, I said, I'd like for some people to join us on the platform that represent people that God has spoken to. And maybe there's a church that they're leading or a life group that they're leading or some way that God has led them to advance the kingdom of God. And the platform was filled. Yeah, there were some people that preach and teach and lead, but there were other people that you've never seen them on the platform, but they stepped up here with a heart that said, I'll hear from God. I'll do what He says. I'll go where He wants us to go. I know some will go to countries far away, but some may just go to their job or to their school. Wherever they're going, they're going to be an explosive influence. And today, I'm saying,
saying, it's not just for the people on the platform. It's for everybody in the pew. You can be with Jesus.
I was thrilled on Wednesday night. I was fired up, man. And yet when I got in my car, I immediately thought, you didn't mention so-and-so. They could have been up there too. They were out there every Sunday morning. They leave Winston-Salem and they drive 40, 45 minutes to help out in a tiny church in North Wilkesboro. None of you would probably know. Some of us know who they are, but they're not famous in this congregation. They're just a young couple that found out somebody needed some help with children. They said, we'll go. They answered the call of God. Then I thought about another couple that every Sunday they head on over to Kernersville because there's a church that needs help with music. We didn't bring them on the platform Sunday. You know why? Or Wednesday? Because this is bigger than what we can fit on a platform. This is bigger than what we can fit in a church. This is not just for the who's who in some particular church. This is about you saying, if I can be with Jesus in church, in prayer, in fasting, in the word, if I can be with Jesus, not just to say I'm a Christian, but to say, Jesus, change me so I can be an influence, so that I can have an explosive influence on my world. I'm telling you, God can use housewives. God can use school teachers. God can use students. God can use factory workers. God can use unemployed people. God is just looking for somebody that will say, I'm going to abide in him. I'm going to get with him. And I'm telling you, the people in the pile that made the greatest impact, they made the impact because they had been with God. Oh, as you clap your hands, would you say, let it be me. Let it be me. I want to be with Jesus until I have an explosive influence. So just since Wednesday, I get a text from somebody, and they say in their text, God, or I know they get it mixed up sometimes, Pastor, I'm just kidding, God forgive me. That was funny, but that wasn't right. The devil made me do that. God forgive me. You mean devil. You did that right in front of everybody. You can't be picking up on it. They said, Pastor, there's so many hurting people in our community. That's all they said. But then I found out by the end of the day, they had gone to the hospital just to pray for someone. They're not the only ones. But I thought, isn't that amazing? Somebody's hearing from God. If you knew this couple, they're so busy. They got so much going on. They got their own family. They got their own jobs. But somehow they carved out a way to hear the voice of God. And God says, there's hurting people. I need you to go to the hospital and pray for somebody. I'm just saying, it's that easy, folks. If somebody will be with Jesus long enough, you're gonna start to feel his burden for a lost and hurting world. And you're going to hear direction from him on what you can do and how you can work and where you can go. And I'm telling you, you can make an explosive impact. Then I heard it was posted on our life group leaders forum, a life group leader that their group is starting to get large. And you know, some life group leaders would have said, you know what, this group is too large for my house. I'm done being a life group leader. Thank God I don't have to worry about cleaning the house anymore. But this leader said, you know what, I'm going to go find a place where we can meet that's a little bit bigger. They went into the local YMCA. God gave them incredible favor. Now their group can grow larger than they ever imagined. You know why? Because somebody decided, I want to be an influence. And there's lots of excuses, but what if I could just seek the Lord and he can open a door? Their testimony was the YMCA gave them the red carpet treatment, gave them all kinds of access to opportunity so their group can be blessed. I'm saying you can be just an ordinary child of God, but if you will get alone with Jesus,
something's going to happen. You can have an explosive influence in the community. I know of one family in this church right now, just one family that right now God has opened a door. They don't come up on the platform. They don't grab the mic and tell you about it because that's not what it's for. But one family right now that is networking with 26 families that don't even go to church here, but they're meeting needs and they're being a vessel that God can use. I'm saying God wants to take an ordinary family, an ordinary Christian, and he wants to help you to have an extraordinary impact, an explosive influence. I know of one man, we never say a lot about it behind the pulpit. It's not because he wants name recognition, but just about every week he sets up a Bible study on his computer and he's teaching literally hundreds and hundreds of people the plan of salvation, not just in North America, but literally around the world. He's letting them know, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I think that's awesome that one man with a computer could reach hundreds and hundreds of people around the world. You know why? Because if you'll get with Jesus, you will have an explosive influence. You say, I don't have money, but you got Jesus. I don't have a theology degree, but you've got Jesus. I've got a family. I've got a job, but you've got Jesus. So this is just one story I know about. Wednesday night, there were so many people. I mentioned the ones on the platform, but so many people right up near the front here. And I asked them, would you pray for one person or two people that God has put it in your heart that they need the Lord? They need the Lord. And immediately, two names came to my mind. I've been praying for these two men for a long time. I have a friendship, but it doesn't seem like I have much influence. And I begin to call their name in prayer. I begin to speak their name in prayer. Both of those men, I just prayed. Everybody was praying. It wasn't just me. Everybody was praying. In fact, after I was done praying, I just kind of left my mind, but I did say to the congregation, how many of you remember? I said, now, if you prayed for somebody, do something between now and before Sunday. How many remember that? Well, several of you remember that. How many of you were already asleep at that point? How many of you were in the foyer talking to your friend? No. We'll just let that go. That was the devil, too. I'm so sorry. He's all over me. It's all right. Y'all going to pray for me in a minute. It's going to be all right. So I said, before Sunday, do something. Well, you know what? Come Thursday, that's less than 24 hours, Thursday morning, I done forgot about those two guys. I had so many other things I was worried about and working on. And I look at my phone. First of all, I see a car drive through the parking lot. And I look at my phone, and I'm like, that's one of them guys. So I don't always pick up my phone. But because we had just prayed, I said, I better pick up my phone. And by the way, if you want to come visit me at the church, make an appointment. I don't want you to miss anything. By the way, we turn off the video for this part because I'm not trying to offend anybody. Just the people that are here. No. But I picked up the phone and said, are you in the parking lot? He said, yeah, I sure am. I said, I'll be right there. And I ran out and grabbed him, came in. He talked to me for 2 hours. He is a major leader in this community. He has influence like you wouldn't believe. And he began to talk to me about some of his struggles. He began to talk to me about some of the challenges he's facing. And I began to talk to him, and God had given me a word for him. And I thought it was so neat because here I had prayed the prayer on Wednesday, and I'm such a goofball that I hadn't even done anything about it by Thursday. But God is so interested in us being an influence that this guy's testimony to me was, I was driving down
down Peters Creek Parkway, and the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to go see Harold Linder. So I turned the car around and I said, well, I'll just drive through the parking lot. I don't have a car in the parking lot. So he just called, and when he called, there it was. And before you know it, I've never been able to connect with him on a regular basis, but now we've set up a monthly meeting where we're going to visit and talk about the Lord. You know why? Because God will use anybody. You don't have to be all that spiritual. You don't have to be all that qualified. I'm telling you, you have no idea who God would use you to reach. I'm just one person. I only know that story because I'm the one that was in it. But you've got a story, and you've got a story, and you're not saved just for yourself. You're not saved just for your family, but you are saved to be an explosive influence. Come on, when they see your boldness, they're gonna know he's been with Jesus, she's been with Jesus, they've been with Jesus. When they see your sensitivity, they're gonna know, I don't know much about them, but I know they know Jesus. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. I won't say much about the other man I prayed for when I was standing right here. But on Friday, I ran into him. I said one word to him. He started weeping. And I could tell God was dealing with him. I'm just saying one simple prayer on a Wednesday night, and Jesus is so desperate to use us. Jesus is so desperate to work through us. One of the greatest things about Wednesday night is it wasn't just the people on the platform, but even out throughout the congregation, I asked for those that say, well, maybe you can't go to Statesville, and maybe you can't start a P7 club, and maybe you can't do this or you can't do that, but how many of you will raise your hands and say, I will be an intercessor? And it was beautiful, the army of men and women of God. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to force anybody out of their zone, although some of us need to get out of our comfort zone. I'm just saying, if you will just get with Jesus, he'll fill in the blanks for you. And I want to say to somebody that maybe you've never taught a Bible study, or you've never been in front of a pulpit, or maybe you've never led a club, if you are an intercessor, it's one of the greatest needs of the hour. If you're praying for lost people, if you are standing in the gap, if you know about the ministries around this church and you are covering them with prayer, I'm telling you, you are with Jesus over and over again, and you are making an impact. Is there anybody that would raise their hand and say, I don't know if I'll ever get behind that pulpit, but I'll be an intercessor? Is there anybody that will say, I may never start a club, but I will be an intercessor? Is there anybody, as the musicians come, that will say, Jesus, all I know is I'm going to abide in you. I'm going to stick with you until you use me to be an influence. Come on, somebody's going to be praying. Somebody's going to be fasting. Somebody's going to be in the Word, not just because they're Christians, not just because it's spiritual, but because they got to hear from God. They got to be an influence. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me right now? Of Jesus Christ. I have some other things I'd like to share, but I just feel like God wants to accomplish a miracle in somebody's life right now. If you are here today and you need a miracle, or you know somebody that needs a miracle, and in just a moment when I ask you to come, you would just come and stand at this altar and just raise your hands and say, God, I need a miracle. or so-and-so, mention their name, so-and-so needs a miracle. And here I am, Jesus, I'm at church, but I don't want it to be said on September 8th, 2019, that I was just at church on that Sunday. I want it to be known that I was with Jesus. I was with Jesus. And so when you come to the altar, here's what I believe. When you say, Jesus, you're the vine, I'm the branch. Do your work in me. Do your work through me. There will be specific miracles, just like a few that I shared right now. Specific miracles born out of a few moments in the altar. I'm not going to predict what they are. I am going to predict this. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to promise to ever come back. But you just got to be with Jesus for a few moments on a Sunday. I am going to predict this. And there are reasons why people have to go because of work and other responsibilities, even health. And so I'm not slamming you. But if you have the ability to be in this altar and you choose not to, you're going to be okay. Don't worry. Devil's not going to get you. But you would get more out of this moment than just being in church. You got to be with Jesus. And I know you can be with Jesus wherever you are in this building and even in your car driving home. But there is something about the statement of faith that says, you know what? Being in church is not enough for me. Just calling myself a Christian is not enough for me. And if there's enough people that are going to go up to that altar so I don't have to stand by myself, I'm going to march right up there and I'm just going to let God know it's not enough for me to say I'm a Christian. It's not enough for me to say I was in heaven view. I got to be with Jesus because I need a miracle, because my family needs a miracle, because my coworker needs a miracle. Come on, you're welcome to come and stand or kneel or whatever, but whatever you do, would you raise your hands and say, I'm standing here because I want to be with Jesus. I'm standing here because I gotta be with Jesus. Come on, even if you're just passing through, you know there's something in your heart that's stirring up today. You know you're a believer, and I'm telling you, your faith in God is for more. It's for more than just you saying you're a Christian. It's for you saying, I've gotta be with Jesus. I need some prayer warriors to help me. I need some intercessors to help me. I need some men and women of God to pray the prayer of faith right now all across this sanctuary. Miracles in Jesus' name, by the authority of the word of God and by the power that is in the name of Jesus. I believe you for miracles right now in the name of Jesus.